The harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. I love the man that can smile in trouble, that can gather strength from distress and grow brave by reflection. 'Tis the business of little minds to shrink, but he whose heart is firm and whose conscience approves his conduct will pursue his principles unto death. And this week's opening quote comes from Thomas Paine. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Principles are interesting things, aren't they, folks? Principles are things that we stand by. We all claim that we are men of principle, or women of principle, persons of principle. However, very often the principles that we have are more kind of a personal standard. We have our own personal principles, but very often we fail to really apply the principles that we say we have and that we say we stand by. We fail to apply them to the world that we live in, the society that we live in. We apply them to our personal lives, to our personal dealings with other people, but when we look at the society we live in, it really is a society without principles. It may pretend to have them on the surface, but all principles will be dissolved and discarded if it is necessary to discard them in order to support the economic model, the economic system that controls our societies. And when you have a society and a social structure and a mindset within the people of that society that exalts the economic model over the lives of those who live within the society, then how can such a society ever be viewed to be a society of principles? Because really, it's not. And in fact, our society has moved so far away from the path of what principles truly are, that sometimes the principles that people have are based in economic value. Oh, I need payment. It's the principle of the thing. And this in itself displays a lack of principles, a lack of real principles. It displays a misplacement of what principles truly are. And this is the result of the programming that comes from living within a society that is itself lacking in principles. And don't get me wrong, folks, I'm not saying you should just do work for free for people and all this sort of stuff. I'm just saying it's what we perceive principles to be. I mean, sure, there's a principle there that people should be honest. You know, you do work with someone, they promise payment, and they should be honest and they should pay you. But there's a higher principle, and that is helping people. And that's a value that we've very much lost in our society. And even when we do help people, we tend to do it for economic reasons. Very often we do it for economic reasons. Very often when we help people, when we do favors for people, we do so because we want them to view us favorably, or we want to have them feel indebted to us, or we want people to perceive us as being pretty cool and someone that helps others and all that sort of thing. So this is unprincipled behavior in itself as well. And again, we're doing something that looks principled on the surface, but below the surface, the principles may not be sound. This is kind of what I'm trying to say here. And that's on a personal level. And often personal principles are personal principles, but looking at it on a social level, looking at it from the perspective of our society pretends to have principles, but it's actually a very unprincipled society. It hides things, it masks things, it does things backwards, and it does things that look to be principled, when in fact they're not. And it covers these things up very well via the media and by popular conception. The popular consensus of what something is usually the way it is, and people just don't question it. But really, if they look below the surface, what they'll find is that it's actually quite the opposite. And that's what we have, folks. We have a society that has all of these nice, polite, politically correct principles on the surface. But in order to hold this facade together, and it is a facade, it lacks principles just below the surface. In every aspect of society, in every aspect of the structure of society, it lacks principles. But it's very deceptive in the way it hides this reality from the people. It's a very, very deceptive society. It's always playing one hand against the other, and it's always calling black, white, and up, down, and it's always making people look in the wrong direction. But really, when you look at it, it tells you what it's doing. You just have to examine the names of some of the organizations, and they kind of tell you what they're doing. It's just that it's taken the wrong way by the people. It's a very, very deceptive society, folks, but what you have to realize when looking at this system is that everything it tells you is backwards. And when you take that into account and you begin to look at things through the right eyes, then the reality of our situation becomes quite apparent. Take things such as vaccination, for example. Vaccination would appear to be a highly principled thing to do. We're wanting to prevent people from getting diseases. We want to keep people healthy. But really, when you look at vaccination, what you find is that because it's given to infants at such a young age, while their bodies are still developing and their immune systems are still developing, it massively compromises their immune systems, and it opens their bodies up to all sorts of problems down the track when they get older, and it turns them into great little commodities for the pharmaceutical industry, which is who promotes the vaccinations. And think about it, folks. The pharmaceutical industry, its goal is to sell drugs. That's what it does. It's a business. It wants to sell medicine to people. And yet, on the other hand, the pharmaceutical industry is administering vaccinations to people, claiming it's doing so that they never get sick. But if they never get sick, there would not be a pharmaceutical industry to begin with. And this is really no way to run a business, folks. In fact, it's not in the pharmaceutical industry's best interests to administer vaccinations to people to ensure they never get sick. Otherwise, they would never have clientele later in life. So the reason the pharmaceutical industry is administering these vaccinations to people is to ensure that they do get sick later on, to provide them with a regular and needy clientele. And this is very, very unprincipled behavior that is done under the guise of a very, very principled action, i.e. giving vaccines to people in order to keep them healthy. And when you look at our society, folks, you see these sorts of things happening all through our society. You look at the World Health Organization, it's not really about making sure people are healthy, it's about controlling the state of world health and making sure people are good business opportunities for the pharmaceutical industry. It's the same as the WTO, the World Trade Organization. This isn't about promoting free trade, it's about controlling the flow of trade in order that certain countries may be marginalized if they step outside of the theater of control that the powers that believe they be wish to put around them. You can't go thinking outside the box and thinking you can act independently, because the World Trade Organization will make sure that you're not able to trade and that your country falls into a state of disrepair and distress. So that's what the World Trade Organization is about. I mean, even organizations such as the United Nations, this appears to be a very good thing on the surface, but because we have five nations within that organization that have the power of veto, what we find is that it isn't a United Nations at all. It's simply a unification of a great number of nations under the dictatorship of five other nations who have ultimate control. I mean, the United Nations is actually a good concept in principle. We could rescue it if we looked at it the right way. If we were to remove the power of veto from the five nations that have it, it could actually be a good thing. But in its current form, it's very unprincipled and very deceptive, and again, acting upon the premise of being a very principled organization based on a very principled idea. And it is a principled idea, folks. The concept of having a United Nations, a group of people all sitting around that have an equal say in what happens on the planet, is a very principled idea. But unfortunately, what we get masquerading as what I've just described is essentially a dictatorship run by the same banking cartel that runs just about everything else. And again, folks, this is all very unprincipled behavior that is happening under the guise of highly principled activity, same as the terror laws that have been brought in all of our countries, same as Bill C-51 that they're attempting to bring in Canada. the new draconian anti-terror laws that have been brought in here in Australia. These are all brought in under the guise of being highly principled, when what they are doing is, in fact, taking all of the rights of the people away. They're giving the police unprecedented powers and the ability to strip search anybody and arrest people without warrant and put them in jail without charge and all sorts of things. It's actually a complete removal of democracy, and it is the introduction of a totalitarian police state, which is essentially a dictatorship. We may still get to vote every few years. We can put a different face on the coin, but it will be a dictatorship from this point on if the people don't stand up and do something about it. What the people have to understand is that our governments are in abusive office. They all are. The fact that the Abbott regime would even introduce such legislation, the fact that Stephen Harper would be looking at introducing something such as Bill C-51 in Canada, this is a clear abuse of office. It's an abuse of power, an abuse of office. It's treason against the nation and the removal of the basic cornerstone of democracy, which is habeas corpus. It's removing this from our societies, folks. And habeas corpus, like I said, it's the cornerstone of democracy. If you do not have habeas corpus in place in your society, then you do not have a democracy and you do not have any rights. And they're taking our rights away from us under the pretext of doing so to protect our freedoms. Again, folks, this is doublespeak. Everything the government tells us is doublespeak, and everything it does is backwards, and all of its behaviour is highly unprincipled. But what it does give us at the moment is an opportunity to rein these people back under control, because this is a clear abuse of office that is happening in all of our countries. And if the people are willing to stand up and call a spade now while it is occurring, then they have the ability to nip it in the bud. They have the opportunity to nip it in the bud, and indeed they have the duty to do so, if they have any respect for their nations at all. But if the people simply allow this to go ahead and allow it to be rolled out, then a few years down the track, it won't be possible to nip it in the bud because it will already be in place. And that will spell a very dangerous time for humanity. And we're on the knife edge right now. We have to realize what principles are, and we have to stand by the true principles that should be the foundation of our society, that are the foundation of society, that we're supposed to be anyway. And we should all stand by our own personal principles and stand up and do the right thing. And again, folks, we don't need any violence in this. We simply need to call a spade and be brutally honest in our approach to this problem. And it is a problem, folks. The out-of-control state of our governments is a real problem, and it's a real problem for not only the people of Western societies, but also the rest of the world, because these governments have a lot of weapons, and they're going out and they're waging war all over the planet, and they're doing so under the behest of protecting us from terrorism. But they're not, folks. They're creating terrorism all over the planet, and they're locking us down into what is going to be a terrifying police state if we don't stand up and stand by our principles and restore some real principles to this society. And the thing is that we have all the tools that we need to do this at our disposal right now. We really do. There's enough people out there in the alternate media. There's enough people who've gone down the different illegal rabbit holes, the Freeman rabbit holes, the trust law rabbit holes, lose the name, all of this stuff. There's enough people now who have legal tools at their disposal, legal knowledge at their disposal, that they can use to stand up and call this government out for its actions. We can do it in all of our countries, folks. You can stand up and you can call out your government for abuse of office, and you can express a loss of confidence in your government's ability to govern. And if they question you, you have all the legal tools you need to still navigate yourself through the system. And this could work if people stand up and do it now. But if we allow this system to roll out to the extent that it is doing and that it's attempting to roll itself out, then when this is all put in place, it's not going to matter if you have those legal tools, because they will simply arrest you on the side of the road for not answering one of their questions, and they'll throw you in a hole without charge. They have the ability to do this because they wrote it down on their paper and the police believe it. So under such circumstances, it won't matter if you lose the name and say, oh, I'm not the legal person. They'll just grab you and they'll put you in a cell. And you can claim you have rights all you like and you can make as much noise as you want. But once you're in that cell, then you're in that cell. But we can stop all of this now by standing up and addressing the problem head on. We've got to stand up and we've got to take the cause right to the wire, and we've got to let these politicians know that we are up to their game. We know what they're doing, and we're not going to let them get away with it. Because everything these politicians are doing is an abuse of office, folks. Every single thing they are doing is an abuse of office. And we have all the tools we need to address this problem. And look, we can address it globally by using Gaza Strip. This is why I've used Gaza so much and focused on Gaza so much, because it is a clear war crime. And everybody knows it. The whole world knows that this is a war crime. The governments can deny it all they like, but all the world knows that it is in fact a war crime. The mere existence of Gaza Strip is a war crime, and we have legislation in place in all of our countries which prohibit our governments from supporting war crimes. Because this legislation exists, and because international law does exist, even if our governments tend to ignore it, and because things like the Geneva Convention do exist, we can use these things to rein our governments back under control. Because there is no debate that every government that is supporting the actions of Israel is supporting war crimes. Therefore, every one of these governments is in abuse of office. Every one of these governments needs to be dismissed and can legally be dismissed. And at that point, once we rein our governments back under control, we can put some transparency back in government, and we can address the myriad of other problems that we are facing. Gaza Strip provides us a tool that we can use, and it can be used globally to address the problem of our out-of-control governments and the war crimes that they are supporting. And not only that, but we can also ease the suffering of the 1.8 million people that are currently trapped in Gaza Strip at the same time, simply by recognizing it for what it is, and that is a human rights violation of epic proportions and a war crime. Because these war crimes are coming home to us now, folks. It's coming home to a suburb near you. And if we don't address the situation in Palestine, as I've said so many times, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And it's happening now, folks. Our police have been militarized, and now our streets are becoming unsafe to walk simply because of the military and government and police presence on these streets, and the ability that these people have to make anybody disappear at a moment's notice on whatever whim they cook up. They can just grab anybody off the street, they can throw them in a hole, and they don't even have to explain themselves. And if you go questioning them to find out where your relative's gone, they'll probably throw you in a hole as well. And that's the society that we're heading for, folks, and we have an opportunity to rein this in. We have the tools that we need to do so, and we have a duty to make sure that we do. We have a duty to our children, we have a duty to future generations to not allow this police state to be constructed around us. And the only people that are going to stop it are you. It's got to be the people on the street making noise, calling a spade, and standing up and speaking their truth now while they still can. And the police in all of our countries, seriously, you people need to wake up to yourselves, because the future that you are creating is going to be one that your children are not going to want to live in, and you're going to be the ones who did it. So you need to turn your attention to the real criminals of this matter, and that is our governments. And you need to start respecting your constitutions and respecting your countries and doing the right thing. And that is standing by the people and reining this ridiculous, out-of-control, gargantuan police state back in check. Because we don't want a future where all of mankind is suppressed and all creative expression is curtailed, and any criticism of the actions of the psychopaths that are running this world is seen as crime. We will not allow this to happen, and now is the time for the people to stand up and do something about it. And I really hope that the police and the military do the right thing and stand with the people and make sure that these criminals are brought back under control and they do not get away with what they are attempting to do. And again, all of this can be achieved by simply standing by principles, what principles truly are. You know, even with the legal system, folks, people will look at this and they say, well, there are legal principles that need to be upheld. But what is law? Law in its true form, natural law, is always moral and it is always just. Natural law is always fair. There is never any question in natural law. There is never any oppression in natural law. But legislation that is introduced that is the colour of law and masquerades as law, this is not true law. And if the law, the legislation that's been introduced, does not uphold true human principles, then how can it be called a just law? Because true law must always hold to the principal value of basic human rights, the principal value of good. It must not be something that creates hardship for people. I mean, sure, if someone commits a crime against somebody else, if somebody hurts somebody, that person may be incarcerated, and you could say, well, this is causing hardship for them. Well, this is just hardship because they caused hardship for another, and they may be likely to do it again if they're a violent person. But in the case of people simply being penalized for stepping outside of certain lines that government writes and breaking certain rules that government may make, when nobody has been injured by these actions, these are simply guidelines that the government puts in place. These are not just laws, and they are not laws that uphold true human values or true human principles. And these laws therefore need to be questioned, because they're not real law. They're simply legislation that's masquerading as law. They're simply words on paper that appear to be the colour of law, when really they're just the will of politicians, usually put in place to extract revenue from the people and to simply put people more into a state of control and get people used to being in a state of control, get people used to obeying the perceived authority of government. And this is how it's been done, folks. And gradually, over a long period of time, more and more laws have been introduced, and now we get to the state that we are now, where we're about to be locked down into a situation where we have no rights at all, and this is being done under the pretext of keeping us safe from terrorism. And I tell you, folks, when you're arrested by a police officer and thrown into a cell, I guarantee you, you're going to be pretty damn terrified. So you've got to ask yourself, what is terrorism? Terrorism isn't some guy in a black hood on a television set doing a fake beheading. Terrorism is an emotional state. It's what you feel when you're in a state of stress. And this stress can come about by many means. And one of the means that it comes about, I can tell you right now, is when you're arrested by a police officer who can do whatever he wants, and you have absolutely no rights and no recourse. You can't make a phone call, and nobody even knows that you're locked into wherever it is that you're locked away. That is terrorism. And these are the powers that our government is granting to our police right now in order to not keep you safe, but in order to keep them safe. And there are many reasons why they're doing this, folks. It isn't just because of the wars in the Middle East. They don't really want to have wars in the Middle East. They don't really want to go to war with Russia. What they want to do is lock our own countries down, lock their own citizens down. The reason they're doing it here in Australia is because they're going hell for leather with mining in this country. The coal seam gas industry is just going full steam ahead. Plus, there is a huge coal mine that is about to be opened in Queensland, which is going to destroy Australia's food bowl. And they need to lock down this country into a police state before they can get away with these mining operations. Even now, we're seeing politicians in this country naming coal seam gas protesters as terrorists and professional protesters. They're saying these people don't really care about coal seam gas. They're just professional protesters that like causing trouble, and they're essentially domestic terrorists because they're speaking out against the government and they're disrupting the actions of government that are working to improve the economy. Again, it all comes back to the economy, as if this thing's real and we need to dedicate our whole life to supporting the economy. But the economy is fiction. The economy is anti-life, and it is what is causing most of these problems. And it's true, folks. If we continue to support the economy and continue to support the economic model, we will end up rendering our habitat unlivable. We will. And it's all about balancing the books. Anyway, that's what it's about. It's not really about doing anything of benefit for mankind or benefit for society. It's about balancing the books. I mean, just look at it. You'll have the bank repossess somebody's home and throw them out on the street and they become homeless. And the bank doesn't even need the home that they repossess. The home will sit there empty, doesn't get used, they don't destroy it, they don't resell it, it just sits there empty, and the person sits there homeless. They don't care about reclaiming the house because they need the house. They just do it because it balances the books. So the economy is anti-life, and we have to stop supporting this. Our continued support for this economic system is what has caused all of the environmental destruction and environmental rape on the planet, and it's what's caused most of the hardship on the planet as well. And it's also been used as an excuse for wars because of the perceived state of scarcity that mankind is in, when really we're not in a state of scarcity at all. It's actually a very abundant planet, and it could be managed in a way that was beneficial to all. But it's very badly managed because it's managed in a manner that is designed to always support an economy that demands permanent growth. So therefore, everything must be made to break, and everything we extract from the planet in the way of resources eventually turns into rubbish and ends up on a rubbish tip. And we've constructed a system which demands that we do this very quickly. So now we are expending the resources of this planet and discarding them onto rubbish tips far, far quicker than we used to in the past, because we actually used to make things to be a little bit sustainable. But then we started to perceive the economy as being the new god, and so we do everything now to support the economic model, which is in fact destroying the planet. And as I said, has been used as an excuse for a myriad of wars and conflicts, all in the name of scarcity, when the reality is that this scarcity is completely artificial and wholly contrived and is simply an excuse for these psychopaths to do what they do best, and that is kill large numbers of people and destroy large amounts of real estate. And now that the people of the world are beginning to wake up to this fact, they have cooked up this whole ISIS scare and this whole threat of global terrorism, which is completely and utterly fictional, in order to lock their own countries down into a police state. And that is us in the world of 2015, folks, and the only people who can make a difference is you. And so now is the time for you to stand up and to speak your truth. But I think we've reached break time here, ladies and gentlemen, so I'll leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So yes, there's a lot of reasons why the powers that believe they be are choosing to lock the world down into a police state now. As I said, here in Australia, they are about to commence an enormous amount of mining operations. I think it's about 2017 we should see this happen, probably just after the Commonwealth Games, or perhaps even while the Commonwealth Games are on. That would always be a nice distraction for them, and they like to use distractions. They like to do things while people's minds are occupied elsewhere. There's also been recent exposure of pedophile rings that are happening in England, particularly in the village of Hampstead. This, of course, has been covered up by the media, but having looked at the testimony of the children, I believe this to actually be a credible case. There are some who may say that it isn't, but I would say that it is. And we've seen these type of pedophile rings that go all the way to the top in England and in Scotland. And there is a connection to these rings from Australia here. There are a lot of Aboriginal children that go missing in northern Western Australia. And there is the view that there is a pedophile ring that is operating out of Broome in Western Australia that is connected to very, very high levels within the English ruling class. And all of these sorts of things are coming to light now and being exposed, and the government is working very, very hard to attempt to shift attention away from these things through the war on terror and ISIS and all these fake beheadings and everything they're doing. There's also the suggestion that Tony Blair and his ilk could be facing charges for war crimes. Under the Chilcot report, this has been discovered that Tony Blair could well face charges for war crimes due to the lies that they told and the fabricated information they used to start the illegal war against Iraq, which was an illegal war. It was a war of aggression right from the ground up. It was built on lies from the ground up and was completely and utterly unnecessary and has been responsible for the death of around about 1.6 million people so far. And that is a conservative estimate, and that's just in Iraq. So there's all sorts of things coming to light, and there's all sorts of reasons why they would want to lock us down into a police state now. It's simply to protect themselves, folks. It's not to protect us. It's not to protect our society. It's to protect government. See, the war on terror really isn't a war on terror. It's a war of terror. And it's a war not only against Islam, but also a war on dissent. It's a war on the population of each of our countries. It's a war upon human rights, basically. And it's a removal of human rights by removing the basic cornerstone of human rights from all of our legal systems, namely habeas corpus, as I said before. And if you look at all of the anti-terror legislation that's been brought in across the board around our countries, it all serves to remove habeas corpus from the legal system under the guise of giving the government the powers they need to prosecute terrorists. And we don't need to give the government any more powers, though, folks. We already have a competent legal system in place in all of our countries which could effectively prosecute any terrorist. There is no reason to give the police the sweeping powers that they're giving and to remove rights from ordinary law-abiding citizens in order to keep them safe. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is what they did in Nazi Germany, only it's a lot worse than what they did in Nazi Germany because it's a lot more high-tech and it's global. And folks, when I refer to the legal system as being a competent legal system, I'm speaking rhetorically. Of course, it's a totally incompetent legal system. It's a ridiculous legal system that's all based in fiction. But within that fiction, we do have adequate laws in place to deal with any terrorist activity without the government needing to remove every single right that the people have, which is what they are doing with their anti-terror legislation. As I said a week or two ago, folks, soon you will see dissent being classed as terrorism. And that's the way we're heading. Even recent speeches by David Cameron and even some of the things that this little slimeball Tony Abbott said in his speech indicate that they are really going to push things to the next level. There's been up to 400 people a day being detained for questioning at Australian airports now. And this is a very interesting development, folks. 400 people a day being stopped for questioning simply because they're travelling overseas or perhaps coming back from overseas. That is the level of paranoia in this country and the level of Islamophobia in this country. Look at the newspapers. It's just jihad, jihad, jihad all over the newspapers. And you walk down the street and there's no threat, there's no problem, there's no terrorism. But the government and the media are desperately trying to push this threat into the face of everybody and keep everybody terrified of this absolutely non-existent Muslim menace. I mean, look at the Arab world, folks. I mean, I love the Arabs, but honestly, as a civilization, the Arab world is pretty disorganized. I mean, don't get me wrong here, but compared to the West, it is. I mean, you look at the West has got all these treaties in place and all these things in place and all these agreements, and it kind of works as one machine. When the West goes to war, it isn't just the United States, it isn't just England. It's this whole mechanism, it's NATO, it's all of these combined things. It all operates as one cohesive unit. And you don't see that in the Arab world. The Arab world doesn't have all these treaties in place. Each nation acts independently. And many of them don't even get along with each other. And you wouldn't want to be starting a movement in the Arab world that is going to take on the military might of the West because you'll just get flattened. And look what ISIS is doing. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to rally the Western world to go and wipe out all the Arab states. And why would they do that? Why would the Arab world want to take on the West and go to war with the West when the West has got all the weapons? And look at what ISIS is doing as well. They're going into places like Iraq and they're destroying all of the culture in the museums. They're destroying art pieces and sculptures and pottery that is thousands upon thousands of years old. These are not Arabs, folks. These are people that are working extremely hard to destroy any trace of Arab culture so that once the Greater Israel project comes into being and Greater Israel is built, they'll be able to rewrite the history books and tell people that it's always been there. There are never any Arabs in the region because there's no Arab culture here in the region. It's all Israeli and this is the way it's always been. This is so much theater, folks. It really is. The Arab world does not want to take on the West. It would not want to take on the West and it doesn't have the cohesion or military ability to take on the West. This war is not being constructed by any supporters of Islam. It's been constructed by Israel and by the CIA, and it's being used to further US foreign policy, further the Greater Israel Project, and to lock all Western countries down into a police state. And as I said in the first half of the show, we have the opportunity to deal with this now because we've all done this work. We've all done these investigations into all the legal avenues. We've figured out how the fiction works. And there are enough people out there now who are awake that if they turned their attention to this system, we could actually make a difference. Imagine if all of these voices started speaking out simultaneously, everybody, all around the world. Everybody just starts speaking out. Everybody starts ringing up radio shows and television shows and asking the right questions. Everyone starts going to political meetings and council meetings and starts asking the right questions and putting these people on the spot. We can expose this entire system for what it is, and we can wake up the entire world. And we have all the legal tools we need to do it, and we have all the legal tools we need to prosecute this system within its own fiction. And once we've dealt with that, then we can deal with the fiction. We can put something proper in place, put some real legal system in place, something that is actually lawful and not just legal. And we have an opportunity to do all of this now, folks. This is what this time in history is. But those out there in the alternate media who just view all this as fear porn and say, no, no, you've just got to maintain a positive attitude and it's all going to go away. You've got to wake up to yourselves. You've got to motivate yourself into action. You've got to stop living in fear. Because that's what you're doing. You're living in fear. See, even the people with the lose the name concept, unfortunately, they're still in the fiction. Because they've seen through the fiction to the point that they know it's all fiction. They know the name is the linchpin and that's what gives people authority. But they don't understand that the system also knows that it's all fiction. And once this control grid gets locked down, it's not going to abide by the fiction because it knows it's fiction. So it won't matter if you lose the name. Now, this law's been put in place in Australia now where if you refuse to answer a question, the police can just arrest you using the anti-terrorism laws. So you can say, well, I don't have a legal name, and they'll just say, fine, you're under arrest, and they'll take you away, and you can shout out about rights, and you can shout out about all this stuff all you like. But they don't care, because it's fiction, and they know it. And don't think, well, I'll deal with it when I get to court, because you need to be charged with something and have a case set in order to deal with it in court. But they don't have to charge you with anything, folks. They can just charge you with not answering a question and keep you in jail. They don't have to take you to court. You don't get a trial. You don't have a habeas corpus. They don't even have to tell you what they're charging you with. They can just say, okay, fair enough. You're not cooperating with me. So I'm going to arrest you and I'm going to throw you into a hole for as long as I feel like throwing you there because that is what they can do under the new anti-terror laws. And if you think that just losing the name is going to free you, then unfortunately you're still in the fiction. You're not realizing that they all know it's fiction too, and they know that it doesn't matter and it doesn't apply, and yet they do what they do anyway. And they'll get away with it because there's a lot of people out there who still believe the fiction is real. So they don't allow you to be arrested. They'll tell you you should have been sensible. You should have told them your name. You should have done all these things that you know will give them jurisdiction and are completely the wrong things to do. But they won't understand because they have never seen it work because you never stood up and demonstrated it to them while you had the chance. And that's what this time in history is. It's a chance for us to all put what we know into action because if we do so, we can make a difference. You know, to see all of this and to understand it and to not do anything is pure madness. You can't lock yourself away and think that you can hide from this or think that it's going to go away if you don't pay it your attention. It needs your attention, folks. It needs everybody's attention. We need to focus on this issue so that we can heal it. Because if we turn our collective focus on it, we can heal it very quickly. The biggest problem and the biggest frustration for me in all of this has been seeing people simply watch all this from the sidelines and cheer us all on. People, unfortunately, still seem to view this as a spy novel and are continually waiting for the next installment about the terrible control grid. And it's like a movie to them. It's like entertainment to them. And everybody seems to be waiting for something to happen. Very often I get the feeling that many people are waiting for announcers or spokespersons such as myself to simply jump into the ring on their behalf, and they will all stand on the sidelines and hold our coats and cheer us on. But really, it comes down to the people out there applying themselves to the reality in which they live. It really does. And we really need some sort of cohesion and unity within the alternate research community. Everybody has to stop shouting each other down. Unfortunately, when people make legal discoveries, their ego gets in the way and they shout everybody else down and talk down to people, don't treat people with respect, and it just all turns into this huge, big mess that never really gets anywhere because there's no cohesion, because there's no mutual respect from people. And that's been one of the biggest tools that's been used against us. Now, this society, this system, unfortunately fosters this type of attitude within people because people are very frustrated without often knowing it. You know, a lot of people know inside that there's something terribly wrong and their life is such a struggle. They're always running on the treadmill. They spend all their time trying to make ends meet, hoping they'll get a little chance for a holiday somewhere or perhaps a little space at the end of their life where they'll get time to sit back and enjoy things. And so they get frustrated and they take out their pent-up emotions and their pent-up frustrations on everybody else. And we get the situation that we've got. But if we can step above all of that, folks, and really step back and look at things, like I said, there are so many things we can now use to rein this system back under control. I mean, all this legislation they're bringing in, this is a clear abuse of office. It is. You can't take habeas corpus away from a society and still claim you're living in a democratic nation. Doesn't matter what theatre they attempt to spin the public. Doesn't matter how they word it in their speeches. Doesn't matter what they're pretending to do. What they are doing is taking away the right to trial, the right to face your accuser, the right to know what you're accused of, the right to legal defence, and the right to have a future, the right to have a life. That's what they're taking away by removing habeas corpus from this legal system. They're saying they're doing it to protect you from terrorism, but this in itself is an act of terrorism. This is giving the police the powers to commit any act of terrorism they want against anybody. This gives the police the ability to pick somebody up from the street, take them out to the ocean, and drop them off a boat with absolutely no recourse. They can do whatever they want, folks. This is exactly what we've seen in so many totalitarian regimes in the past, and it's all being done under the spectre of terrorism and under the pretext of keeping the people safe. I mean, for God's sake, this gives the police the ability to just pick a woman up off the street and keep her in a cell and rape her to death. They can do anything they want with this legislation, folks. And look at this secret prison that has recently been uncovered in Chicago, where they're just disappearing people into it. We can see all of these sorts of places springing up in all of our major cities thanks to this type of legislation. The people really need to look at this and wake up and smell the coffee. This is not being done to keep you safe, folks. It's being done to lock this entire civilization down and to remove any rights or any recourse or any legal ability that people may have to be able to deal with it. Like I said, folks, if we don't pay attention to this and we don't seize some of the opportunities that we've been given to stand up and call a spade, then this whole world is going to end up looking like Gaza Strip. Or all of Western nations are anyway, all of Australia will. The way of Palestine will be the way of the world, simply because we didn't pay attention when we had the opportunity to do so. And speaking of Palestine, folks, do keep one eye on West Bank and Gaza Strip this year, as Benjamin Netanyahu has just won the Israeli election, which unfortunately stands as a glaring testimony to the mindset of the Israeli people, because Benjamin Netanyahu won the election on a platform of bigotry, warmongering, racism, and absolute disregard and disdain for any peace process regarding Palestine. The Israeli foreign minister actually openly said that if they are elected, he will make sure Hamas are removed from Gaza and execute all extremists. And you got to understand, folks, that Israel calls a child who throws a rock at a tank an extremist. It arrests children as young as 5 and 6 years old and takes them into military prisons and labels them extremists. There are over 7,000 Palestinians held in Israeli prisons at the moment without charge or trial that are subject to absolute brutality and routine torture. And judging by the words of the Israeli foreign minister, there is a likelihood that they will simply execute all of these prisoners. In fact, the mere fact that Benjamin Netanyahu was re-elected on such a bigoted, warmongering platform is a very, very sobering message to the world about the mindset and the apartheid stance of most of the citizens within the state of Israel. Again, folks, it's hard to blame these people because they've been programmed into this mindset. They've been programmed into an absolute hatred and disdain for all Arabs, most especially Palestinians. In fact, you can quadruple that in regard to Palestinians. And it's just very unfortunate to see them demonstrate it so openly. So do keep one eye on Gaza Strip, folks. Gaza Strip is in such a bad state at the moment. It really is. It's really disappointing, you know, like after all the work that we've done to try to alleviate the situation in Gaza, you know, with the Mavi Marmara going in there, with myself and Ken going there in 2012, making the films, my attempts to get back in there so much in the last 12 months and all the public outcry that we've seen, even with all of that and even with all the attempts we've made, the situation in Gaza today is so much worse than it was when I was there in 2012. It's 10 times worse than what it ever has been, even after all the effort that we've made. And it is very sobering to see this situation unfolding. So please do keep one eye on Gaza Strip, folks, and keep an eye on the West Bank as well. Keep an eye on all of Palestine, because I feel Israel is about to step up the pace a bit. And the only thing that's going to stop it is international outcry and international condemnation. And we have to really, really keep at it and really raise the stakes and let them know that we're not going to tolerate this. Keep it peaceful, but make sure you are brutally honest and brutally in your face of this system, folks, especially in regard to Palestine and the Gaza Strip. And frankly, you know, people's neglect of this situation for so long and people's choice to ignore what's going on in Gaza Strip is one of the things that's brought the police state home to us now. It really has. You know, we've seen this situation unfolding for so many years. We've seen incredible human rights violations and incredible states of apartheid and simple abuse that's happened in Gaza Strip and in West Bank, and we've sat idly by and done nothing, and in many cases we've supported it by supporting Israeli products and by supporting our own governments, which are supporting the stance of Israel. And the stance of Israel is genocide and ethnic cleansing. The stance of Israel is to wipe out all of Palestine and make the whole place Israel, and then move on to the countries next door and make them Israel as well. That is the stance of Israel, and it's unfortunate, but it's true. And they get away with it, and the people of Israel support it because they see that it's the only way that Israel can survive is to take over everywhere else. It's this victim mentality and this supremacist mindset that's been instilled into the people. It's the programming that they've been subject to that's allowing it to happen. And it's going to continue to happen, folks, unless we stand up and rein our own governments back under control. That's how we can affect the situation in Gaza and in Palestine in the most positive way, is to clean up our own backyards and rein our own governments back under control and hold them to account for supporting the war crimes that they're supporting and for committing the crimes that they're now in the process of committing by simply introducing this draconian anti-terror legislation into all our countries, which in itself is an act of treason. Again, folks, this gives us the ability to deal with this because this is an open act of treason. And there's more of us than there is of them, folks. So if the mindset of the public changes and we decide we want to stand up and deal with this, we can deal with it in a peaceful way simply because we have the strength of numbers. So there's no reason to think that anything needs to get violent in dealing with this system. It doesn't. We can fix the situation now, and we've been given every opportunity to do so. I just hope that people can hear the sense in some of the words that I've spoken today. I really hope that we can unite some of the alternate research community, get people to put their egos down and actually start talking with each other. Everybody put what they have on the table and let's see if we can go from there. But put what you have on the table and then don't shout the other guys down. have a listen to what they have to say, because you may not know it all, even if you think you do. That's the problem, is that people get at one piece of the puzzle and they think that this piece is the golden key and they know it all. And they refuse to listen to everybody else. They become completely closed-minded, get tunnel vision, and we end up back in square one where we've been for so long. We just don't seem to be able to take any steps forward from that point because of this division and lack of unity in those who are speaking out against this system. We need to establish some of this unity, folks. We've got to stand up and make a difference, and this is the year we need to do it. We really do need this unity, folks. We really do. But I have to say that even in the face of all that is being brought down, all that's coming down the pike, even in the face of all of this legislation, in the face of this fake war on terror, this fake ISIS threat, and the mind control that's being meted out by the mainstream media, the disinformation they're selling to the public, in the face of all of it, I'm still optimistic, because now the man on the street can see that something is terribly wrong. They can see what their government is becoming, and it's activating people. It's activating people that I didn't think would get activated, and that's a good thing. And it's important to remember that, folks, that everything the government does to lock this system down ultimately serves to wake people up. And what they're locking us down into is fiction anyway. And as soon as enough people can see that and can see that this entire legal system is in fact fiction, then it's going to be easy for us to extricate ourselves from this system. But what we have to do is realize that our governments do not have our best interests at heart. They are not acting on our behalf with anything they are doing. And it's time we stood up and called a spade, and we can do it through a united community. We can do it through a community that respects each other. So share information with people. Share these shows with people. Just talk to people yourself. Offer them your perspective, but make sure you become friends with them first so that they'll listen. But people are more prepared to listen now, because now the system is coming down to their backyard. It's right in their face. Even in Canada, we've seen massive protests against Bill C-51. We've seen lots of people speaking out against the legislation that's been brought down in Australia. Not too many, because Australia is heavily fluoridated, and Australia has the old she'll be right attitude, and they tend not to look at things until it's biting them on the face. But many of them are looking, and many of them beginning to see that perhaps they should look up from the television sets and pay attention to their surroundings a little bit, and many of them are beginning to do so. So it's a positive sign. What we have to do in the alternate media and the alternate research community is provide a safety net for these people so they don't see this and wake up to the system and suddenly lapse into violence or fear. They need to see what an opportunity this awakening is providing for humankind. Because it is providing us with a real opportunity for freedom, folks. The problem is that we're just dancing on the knife edge. We haven't quite yet stepped up to the plate. But now's the time for us to do it, and I think we're going to see more and more people doing so. But look, I think we're almost at the end of the show here now, folks. That's actually gone quite quickly for me today. I didn't expect it to be over quite this soon, and there was a lot more I would have liked to have said. But I think we are at a very, very important time, folks, and what is needed is action. And it's up to all of us to take that action in our own way and in a manner that we think is appropriate. Peaceful action, positive action, action that will bring about awareness in the community, and action that will bring about freedom for all mankind. But that is it for me, folks. We're completely out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. Thank you to all the people who send me emails, and thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to thecrowhouse.com. They are very much appreciated and very much needed. But that is it for me, folks. I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, and please do share this information with all who will listen. Take care, my friends. I'll speak to you next week. In La Cache.